Edward Rushton was the radical, campaigning, blind poet of Liverpool. His life spanned the 18th and 19th centuries at the time of the slave trade, of revolution, and of social upheaval. Forgotten Hero, written by Bill Hunter and narrated by George Sefton, is his story.
Chapter 9. American Independence, Washington and Slavery. Rushton watched with sympathy when the American colonists made their demands for democratic rights, while he did not, at the beginning of their struggle, support a break with Britain. However, in the process of the Revolution, he came to support wholeheartedly their demands for independence. Meanwhile, he sharply attacked the continuing slave ownership in the independent state. His poem, American Independency, condemns those Americans, men of Columbia, who continue to own slaves.
Ye men of Columbia, O hail the great day which served your gigantic domain, which taught the oppressed how to spurn lawless sway, and gave the vast world a new reign. Yes, hail the blessed moment, when awfully grand your Congress pronounced the decree, which told ancient realms that your pine-covered land, though coerced, was resolved to be free. By those fields that were ravaged, those towns that were fired, by those wrongs that your females endured, by those blood-sprinkled groves where your warriors expired, O preserve what their prowess procured, and reflect that your rights are the rights of mankind, that to all they were bounteously given, and that he who in chains would his fellow man bind, uplifts his proud heart against heaven.
He continued his protest when he wrote an outstanding, historic, and forthright letter to Washington in July 1796, telling him that you, I say, should continue to be a slaveholder, a proprietor of human flesh and blood, creating many of your British friends both astonishment and regret.
Your friend Jefferson has endeavoured to show that the Negroes are an inferior order of beings. But surely you will not have recourse to such a subterfuge. Your slaves, it may be urged, are well treated. That I deny. Man never can be well treated who is deprived of his rights. They are well clothed, well fed, well lodged, etc. Feed me with ambrosia and wash it down with nectar. Yet what are these if liberty be wanting? You took arms in defence of the rights of man. Your Negroes are men. Where then are the rights of your Negroes? They have been inured to slavery and are not fit for freedom? Thus it was said of the French. But where is the man of unbiased common sense who will assert that the French Republicans of the present day are not fit for freedom? It has been said, too, by your apologists, that your feelings are inimical to slavery, and that you are induced to acquiesce in it at present merely from motives of policy. The only true policy is justice. And he who regards the consequence of an act rather than the justice of it gives no very exalted proof of the greatness of his character. But if your feelings be actually repugnant to slavery, then are you more culpable than the callous-hearted planter, who laughs at what he calls the pitiful whining of the abolitionists, because he believes slavery to be justifiable, while you persevere in a system which your conscience tells you to be wrong? If we call a man obdurate who cannot perceive the atrociousness of slavery, what epithets does he deserve who, while he does perceive its atrociousness, continues to be a proprietor of slaves? Of all the slaveholders under heaven, those of the United States appear to me the most reprehensible. For man never is so truly odious as when he inflicts upon others that which he himself abominates. Should these strictures be deemed severe or unmerited on your part, how comes it that while in the northern and middle states the exertions of the virtuous Quakers and other philanthropists have produced such regulations as must speedily eradicate every trace of slavery in that quarter, how comes it that from you these humane efforts have never received the least countenance? If your mind have not sufficient firmness to do away that which is wrong at the moment you perceive it to be such, one might have expected that a plan for ameliorating the evil would have met with your warmest support. But no such thing. The just example of a majority of the states has had no visible effect upon you. And as to the man of Maryland, of Virginia, of the two Carolinas, of Georgia, and of Kentucky, they smile contemptuously at the idea of Negro emancipation. And with the state constitution in one hand, and the cowskin in the other, exhibit to the world such a spectacle as every real friend to liberty must from his soul abominate. Then what is man? And what man, seeing this, and having human feelings, does not blush and hang his head to think himself a man?
Washington returned the letter without answer. Rushton wrote to Thomas Paine, suggesting that they jointly campaign against American slavery. Paine was unsympathetic. Rushton concluded that Tom Paine cared valiantly for the freedom of the white man, but not of the Negro. Undoubtedly, this correspondence has great historical value in revealing the contradictions in the concept of freedom of both Washington and Paine. That this correspondence has been ignored leads once again to the conclusion that Rushton's history has been suppressed because of his consistency in opposition to all oppression and his detestation of any compromise on slavery.